RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by Good Sam Auto and RV Club. For a special membership offer, visit goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. And by RV Trader. To sell your RV, go to rvtrader.com/sell and enter RVFTA5OFF to receive a special offer. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about some of the items we pack for our longer summer trips. From craft kits to rainy day bins to sports buckets, we will dish on our go-to rec items for family RV travel.
Plus, we found some new road trip games that have quickly become family favorites. Stay tuned to hear why these products from Melissa and Doug blow your magnetic trays right out of the back seat. And it's the 100th anniversary of our national parks, so stay tuned for a sneak peek of all the great NPS content we have in store for you this summer.
You might think packing for a long summer trip is the worst part of this RV gig, but we know that a few simple tricks can make it an easy feat. You are listening to episode number 93, Packing Up the RV.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, packing up the RV, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our good friends at Progressive Insurance.
And you can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam around the United States with packages available for seasonal use and for full-timers. You can call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
So they've got a policy for you no matter
for
how much
everyone.
You use your RV,
yep.
Right?
I guess so.
Full-time.
Which is good for us.
Part-time.
Although we'll never be full-time, I don't think.
I don't think. I'm not opposed to the idea necessarily, yeah. But I actually kind of like having a house.
We do.
But we're not
like
big house people.
No.
We're not big house people.
Not at all. We don't have a big house, and I do not want anything
I'd
bigger.
I'd like to have a little tiny house mm-hmm. and an RV.
And an RV. Tiny house and an RV. Not like an official tiny house.
Oh, I could do that.
No. Oh my gosh. You could not. Your stuff.
No. Once the boys are gone. Not gone. I mean, like in college. I could do a tiny house and an RV.
Says the man with stacks of New Yorkers from the 1980s that I'm not allowed to throw out. Yeah, you and your tiny house. And your New Yorkers get a tiny house,
tiny
too.
Tiny house near a really big library.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you won't buy anything anymore.
But I want one of those carports where you can park the RV. So tiny house, huge carport.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's move on. This is just
going
to go badly.
So what's going on with Where is Flo? Or should I say hashtag Where is Flo?
So we will not be announcing a winner right now on the podcast for the Where is Flo contest for this week because we're recording this a little earlier and we don't have a winner yet.
Yeah, Jeremy's flying out of town for work.
Yeah, you're getting out of Dodge.
And you know what?
This
is RV Family Travel Atlas. Let me just say this. I hate airports.
Even without the kids?
Totally. I totally am uncomfortable on airplanes. The seats are like really small. I hate airports.
Like
I hate
tiny
airplanes.
House.
I don't mind that like 2 hours you get to sit and read a magazine when you get at the airport. That's kind of nice because I don't get that in life.
Exactly.
But every other aspect of airline travel, I just despise.
I always hated airline travel. And then the first time I flew when I was a mom, I think the boys were like 3 years old the first time I went on a flight out to California. And I left. I got to the airport and I thought, whoa. This is amazing. I think this is the first time since I've had children where I have seriously had hours of uninterrupted time in front of me.
But here's the thing. That could happen at somewhere other than an airport. It's just that that's where it happens
for the both of us,
right? Like,
right.
I get what you're saying. Like, it's really nice to be like, oh, I'm not responsible for the kids for the next
6 hours.
5 days.
Yeah.
But that, hypothetically, that could happen somewhere else.
On the beach.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just work on making that happen, and then I won't like look forward to flying so much. All right. So anyway.
Other news in the RVFTA world. I have achieved one of my greatest goals in life, scratched it right off the bucket list. I was on Girl Camper.
You are.
Two weeks in a row.
You've been waiting for an invitation for a long time.
I've been waiting. I've been dropping hints a little bit, like here and there. Like, remember when I was like slipping those notes under Janine's RV door? Anonymous.
Production like, hey, ideas.
Jeremy really should be on Girl Camper.
Have you ever considered?
Signed, anonymous.
Yeah. Well, you were on. Janine had a couple of ideas. She wanted you on the show to share. So if you didn't get to listen on Girl Camper last week, Jeremy was doing his favorite picks for Father's Day gifts for the RVing dad. So he went on as sort of her Mr. Sister, you know, representative to share RV, you know, products. Now, these are all products that we've shared in different contexts over the years. You kind of compiled like your top list.
It was kind of actually nice to compile things from over like the past 2 to 3 years of our work and our writing and our podcasting. So even if you bought the Father's Day gift already, it's still a little, it's a good gift guide or just some good items for the RV to have for the summer.
Yeah, nine of those items. So that was on Girl Camper. And then she was really sweet to have us on to actually interview us about our book. Now, some of you might be like, oh my gosh, enough already. Like the book, we know you wrote the book. But the thing is that we were interviewed by Janine in a very different context. Like she was asking us questions that we would never ask ourselves or talk about ourselves
Janine's
on the podcast.
Like she's like Oprah. She's like Oprah in the sense that she gets you to open up.
She was like, you know, well, Stephanie, that must have been hard to be writing a book and making tuna fish sandwiches for dinner.
I mean, that part at which when we were both crying in the middle of the interview and Janine was like wiping our tears, that was a moment.
She had
me.
Her hankies. You know.
Oh, you edited that out, though.
Yeah. Okay. No, so anyway, it is actually much more, I think, of a behind the scenes than we kind of have ever done before, right?
Oh, we haven't come close to giving that many details about the process of writing the book.
Yeah, and what happened and everything. So anyway, if you're interested in taking a listen to that, that's on Girl Camper also. All right, now on Campground of the Week recently, we are really looking and aiming to celebrate our national parks this year. It's the 100th anniversary of the national parks. And I just wanted to point out that recently we've had a couple of reviews of campgrounds in and around national parks. So Kate reviewed the Grand Canyon Railway RV Park recently, which is in Williams, Arizona. And Brett reviewed Fish Creek Campground, which is in Glacier National Park.
And we're going to have a lot more NPS content, which we'll talk about that at the end of this show. And that NPS content will be on both Campground of the Week and RVFTA. We're looking to celebrate the 100th anniversary in a big way, just like everybody else is.
Yeah. And, you know, as I was looking at the campgrounds that we've featured for, you know, in the recent month or two in Campground of the Week, I actually wanted to point out that the last six campground reviews are public.
Yeah, so of those people out there who used to think, well, Jeremy and Stephanie only cover private campgrounds, guess again. We've reinvented ourselves.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and we have correspondence.
We have lots of correspondence, and we also know that this is a very affordable and beautiful way, right, for people to use their RVs. And so,
just got to figure out how to get reservations,
right? Exactly. Which, you know, everybody's getting good at.
Listen, call a friend.
Yeah, our little trigger finger at that Reserve America is getting a lot of practice. We're getting
good
at it. Oh my god!
And the one time when I was really trying to get a site, I won't say at which campground yet. I just literally was watching the computer load.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, this is torture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody somewhere in our social media world said it's like trying to get, like, you feel like you're trying to get tickets for a rock concert back when you were 17.
It's like Bruce Springsteen tickets. Yeah. You know, like, really? Like, I'm not.
I think that was So Hoopless that said that on Instagram somewhere.
Did she? She was saying, she's always got a good.
When I try to get a state park, I feel like I'm trying to get tickets for a, you know, Counting Crows concert.
We'll keep referencing our 1990s music. Since everybody seems to like it so much, we always get some good emails and responses on social media whenever we reference our 1990s music.
Might turn off the millennials that listen. Though a lot of millennials like 90s music.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, but
I don't know it either.
You just said it. Hey, throw it out there. All right. So anyway, go back and check out any of those campground reviews. They're from all over the country. Some really great places that we've been happy to share. So next, we have our forum thread of the week.
You're going controversial.
I am, and there's a real reason for that. So sometimes these controversial topics, and if you're one of our listeners out there that is a member of any of the big, huge RV forums that are out there, you know the hot topics
knife
that
fights.
Pop up. So people will go on, these poor newbies, these poor like freshies, right? They go on and they post this innocent question. They're like, hey everybody, I have this truck. Will it tow this? and there is a collective gasp from all of the members of the forum.
Some of those newbies are like so ripped to pieces. I think they just go and sell their RVs and they go buy a boat.
Yeah. Well, so everybody goes, oh no, because they all know what's coming. You see it if you're in any of these Facebook groups. Like somebody just posts an innocent question and they say this, please don't turn this into a fight about this.
You know, there's like people like...
you actually have to say that.
Literally, I feel like they're sitting there waiting to attack people over these questions.
Right. It's like their entertainment.
So we're talking about traveling with the propane on versus traveling with the propane off.
So Steve, okay, actually posted this in the forum. And it is so clear that Steve is new to RVing because what he wrote was, is it okay to travel with the refrigerator on propane while I'm driving? I checked in the manual and it doesn't say yes or no. And literally I could hear like people sucking in like, oh, how's this going to go? Our very first response was super nice. And it said, this is a rather controversial topic in the RV world.
That was probably from somebody who went through therapy dealing with the aftershocks of posting about it 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you'll get like those pictures, like people will post in the comment section a picture of like something blowing up. Like those are the kind of helpful responses you get like on Facebook and these forums. So anyway, somebody said that. And then I jumped in. Okay. And I'm just going to read my response because this is at the top of the thread. All right. And then we'll go from there. I wrote, after somebody else mentioned that it was a controversial topic, I said, oh boy, Steve, you stumbled upon a hot topic in the RV safety world. To be completely honest, we do travel with the propane on to run our refrigerator. However, we still debate this every 4 months or so. We usually argue about it a little bit, and then we drive with the propane on. Which, is that true or not?
Yeah.
That's
and,
what we
you
do.
And I don't have blowout fights.
No,
it's more
like
we have these like tentative little like, are we sure we should be doing this?
Yeah.
Kind of like little back and forths.
Okay. So then I continued.
I mean, the reality is that of course it's safer to have it off, right? It's not really a question of which is safer. It's just a question of, is it safe enough to travel with it on.
With it on, right. So then I continued on. From all of our research, you could get your refrigerator completely cool, load it with groceries, and drive all day with your propane on. Without your propane on. If you do not open your refrigerator, the food would still be kept at a safe temperature. This is most likely the safest thing to do. All right. Then I said, the problem for us is that we like to eat out of our fridge while we drive. We could eat lunch, you know, like from a cooler, right, that we could keep, we could get our act together, but we haven't done that yet.
I still enjoy the benefits of just going into the RV instead of into McDonald's, but instead, you know, you're using the cooler, not the fridge.
So Janet chimed in and she said they don't drive with the propane on. They pack it like it's a cooler and they put in, a lot of people mentioned putting in water bottles that are frozen, right? So like basically like ice packs, and then they don't open it until they arrive and hook up, all right? So, and we've talked about that. We've said we could do it, and then we keep going back to, but we like access to our fridge. Okay, now, here's the response. It was super helpful to me from Tatiana. She wrote, we have driven from upstate New York to Myrtle Beach 17 plus hours, and we don't use the propane. We do have the luxury of chilling the fridge before loading it and filling it with cooled items. I usually add a few frozen bottles of water to the fridge part too. We have used food out of the fridge during travel, but tend to keep it to a minimum like condiments and lunch meat, which is what we do too. We just grab things out to make lunch and then put it back. Once I have it packed efficiently, I don't like to mess it up with taking out drinks or large items. I keep a cooler of drinks cold in the truck to minimize opening the fridge. We have never felt that the fridge has gotten too warm. I have a healthy fear of propane, so we won't even consider traveling with it on, but we know of others that do. All right. So then I started thinking, well, Tatiana, and I know that she is a very experienced, you know, camper And campers use coolers, you know, and keep sure. food safe for long periods of time. So I was like, she drove from New York to Myrtle Beach, and here I'm saying
like
that we
upstate
can't.
New York.
Yeah, and here I'm saying we can't do it. So then JP chimed in, and he said, I have to agree with Tatiana. We used to run it on propane, but once we got caught in a traffic jam on a steep grade, and we were just sitting there, and since we weren't level, I shut the fridge off. When we got home, everything was still cold, and the ice in the freezer was still frozen. Ever since then we chill the fridge all the way to the coldest, pack a few containers of ice in the freezer, and turn it off as soon as we pull out. We have never even had a problem. Everything is still cold, and even if it's a two-day trip, we chill it down overnight and turn it off as we pull out for the second day of driving.
So in summary, in other words, you can go a pretty great distance, open the fridge quickly to grab your cold cuts and some basics, close it, still show up at your destination with the food cold.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know what? If I'm really concerned about food safety, I could get one of those temperature gauges and just hang it, right? You can, like, hang it from the little rack, and I could monitor it and make sure that it doesn't go down past, you know, your 37 degrees, I think, is, like, your optimum refrigerator temperature or whatever, you know, so that I know that my food didn't spoil on the way down. And I have to say that reading those very measured and reasonable responses, you know, it made me feel like, okay, I can travel with food in the fridge and still not have my propane on.
Right.
So maybe we ought to try it in order to be as safe as possible.
So basically what you're saying is, Jeremy, you've been right all along. Because you have to admit, I was the one who wanted the propane
right,
off.
But you didn't – what you proposed was that we wouldn't
– I just not use the fridge.
Use the fridge. And I was like,
which is why I always came around like, okay, you know, that's a little ridiculous to like not bring food.
Because
you know?
My response to you was, that's why we got an RV.
Yeah.
I don't want to arrive somewhere and have to go grocery shopping. Like you said, well, let's just not do food and then we'll get there and we'll load it up.
I also,
and I was like, no way.
So
I mean, I cook
before we're changing
we go.
Our family policy on this, right? We are going to travel with the propane off.
I think so. I really think we should.
Let's
it's
do
the
it.
Safest thing to do, and we really say
and
that
we're
try
not
to...
judging because we just spent 6 years RVing with the propane on.
Nope, we're being
so
honest.
So we ain't judging nobody who's doing it still. Also, another thought, too, is now with the brand new F-150 with that more spacious rear seat, I'm not so opposed to the idea of packing a small lunch cooler. It will fit in the back seat now in a way that it didn't in the Silverado.
I was never opposed to packing a cooler. What I was overwhelmed by the additional step, right? Thinking that not only would I be packing up the food like in the regular refrigerator, but then I'd also be thinking about what are we going to have for lunch and let me put that in the cooler. Like, you know how we can just like get overwhelmed by an additional step.
But you pack a lot of snacks in the car for the long drives.
I
mean, you're bringing in like a grocery bag practically anyway to keep the boys quiet.
Yes, satiated.
Like throwing food at them.
The boys eat like that at home, though, too.
If they get really loud, somebody's like, here's some pretzels.
They just constantly eat when they're at home also. They're growing boys. They're the very definition of growing boys. So I do. I think that I just really liked hearing feedback from people who had these very reasoned and very reasonable opinions about it and methods for doing
and
it.
See what
so
happens
we're
when
doing
you
it.
When you run a forum where people aren't cranky and obnoxious, you can actually have an interesting conversation. You can get some intelligent opinions from people who have been there and done that, and then it could actually kind of affect the way you make your own decisions.
Yeah, so thank you, Steve, for asking that question. I really appreciate it because it led to me reading some responses that I was very happy to read and that were very useful for me. All right, so there's our forum thread of the week. I will link to the actual forum thread, as always, in our show notes. All right?
All right, we'll be back in a second with our feature topic, packing up the RV. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our feature topic, packing up the RV. And what we're going to do is we're going to get a little bit more specific, and we're going to talk about three different types of kits that we bring with us to help pack the RV. So we do a craft kit, we do a rainy day kit, and we do a sports kit. But we also need to thank our sponsor, Good Sam.
We do. So thank you very much, Good Sam. And Good Sam is actually doing our listeners a favor by offering you guys a special membership deal. So if you go to goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas, you can get a year's membership for $25, plus you get a $25 camping coupon.
And this is crazy. Okay, it is crazy because you're spending $25 and then the first night you spend camping at a Good Sam campground, you're going to send in that camping coupon and a receipt. You're going to get the $25 back.
Yeah.
Now, we buy a Good Sam card every year even without that deal because the 10% off that we get at Good Sam Parks more than earns us back that $25. It's a no-brainer for me to renew my Good Sam card.
Right, because you get 10% off of your nightly rate at over 2,000 Good Sam Parks
around
the country.
That's a lot of campgrounds.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, you know, we did the Jellystone episode last week. Like, you know, it's not just that all, you know, it's a Good Sam park or a Jellystone park or
a wide variety of campgrounds in the Good Sam system.
Yes.
It's also worth mentioning that you should pick up Good Sam's RV travel and savings guides. You can locate all those great Good Sam parks and check out reviews and check out articles by really smart writers like Stephanie and I.
You always have to throw that out there. We're in there. We're in that book.
What other discounts do you get with the Good Sam card?
All right. So you can save on fuel at the Pilot Flying J. You can save at Camping World. You also get discounts and coupons in the mail. You can save up to 30% off on parts and accessories at Camping World.
Discounts on a subscription to either Trailer Life or Motorhome. We recommend you get both.
All right. So goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas and get your membership today.
Hit pause and go do it now. We'll be here when you come back. All right, let's talk about these three kits that we pack with us on every RV trip. You know, maybe not on a weekend trip necessarily do we get this specific, but definitely when we go away for a week or more, we're making sure we've got our craft kit packed. You actually keep it in the RV, right?
I do, yeah. Kit. I was going to say that for the most part, I do this at the beginning of the season. I try to, like, you know, make these all fresh and stocked up at the beginning of the camping season. And then it will last us straight through the entire season.
Yeah, and I think the same is true for the rainy day kit and the sports kit. I mean, obviously, sometimes you got to just check that it's all there. But you don't want to be packing for every trip that we go on a craft kit, a rainy day kit, a sports kit. We do try and get it all set up in the spring. So hopefully, if you're listening, this will help you get all set up for your big summer travels. Yeah. Let's start with the craft kit.
Okay, I just want to say one other thing, that even though I do set them up at the beginning of the season, you have to understand that these things, in order for them to work, you have to limit access to them, okay? So if you set up the craft kit and it's just sitting out in your RV and the kids can, like, go in and get whatever whenever they want, this is not going to last you through the season.
That's a great point. And you keep yours in your clothing closet.
It's in the back.
And that is so smart. And I've never made the connection that what you were doing was protecting the craft kit from the tiny terrors. So you have it tucked in the back of where your clothes are, so they cannot really access it.
No, it's a teacher thing, right? Like, you're in your classroom, you know, kids can't just use all of the supplies whenever they want. You know, you have to really limit that use in order to make it special and in order to make it really effective. So if you put aside your craft kit and your rainy day kits, you do not take them out unless it is a designated time to do that. Your kids say, "We'd like to do a craft," and you're like, "Okay." And then it gets put away after it. And then it will stay special and it'll stay more interesting for the kids.
Yeah. And for at least for our kids, they need the supervision of the adult taking it out and making sure it all gets back. It's not like, hey, boys, go get the craft kit, you know, and do whatever you want with it. That doesn't work for us.
Yeah. Max 2 days ago asked me if he could do a craft out on the deck. Oh, I'm going to do a craft. He was decorating boxes. Great. Go for it. He walks out with, like, three things of glue. There was, like, sparkles. There were stickers, whatever. And I said, "You got to clean up everything you do." And he's like, "Of course I do." The next day, I walk out to the deck. It looks like an art room.
Sparkles are very controversial. In fact, I think, like, in the seventh circle of Dante's Inferno, there are people that have, like, glue all over their bodies and sparkles on them.
Glitter, yeah. Glitter. They say, like, that's what you should do to your worst enemy is send them, like, glitter in an envelope.
It's like a modern-day family version of tarring and feathering someone.
Yeah. No, there's – okay, so there's no – I'll start off this way since we just mentioned that. I'll tell you the no-nos of an RV craft kit, okay? Glitter, white glue, and paint.
Why white glue? I'm sure there's an obvious reason, but why?
Because it's messy and there's no reason for it because you have alternatives. So
So
start off by stocking your craft kit with glue dots and glue sticks. Okay. Glue dots are super wonderful. If you don't, you know, if you've never used them, get them. They're great. All right. No mess, no fuss. All right. Or glue sticks. Very easy. And the boys are used to using glue sticks. All right. What else is in our craft kit? I have reusable printables and clear erasable sleeves, right? Like connect the dots, mazes, things like that. So they can pull out and they could do those again and again. I also have some how to draw tutorials. The boys really like these. So, you know, like it'll be like a five steps to drawing a frog or a toad, you know, and it actually shows them how to do it step by step. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're looking at me.
No, like, I do.
You don't know.
I'm like picturing it in my mind.
Yeah. So the boys love those. They'll say, how do I draw a dog? And you can just pull up. And there's actually books that have this in it too. So you get a book. It really keeps my boys focused for a long time. I also, when we're at home, I'll bring it up on the iPad. They have a website that has all these on it. And I'll bring it up on the iPad and they'll sit there and draw a dog. All right. Washable crayons and markers.
That's pretty pivotal.
You have to get the washable things, people. It's a small space. People bump into each other. Everything has fabric on it. It's not like you have the playroom, right? Like, this is your home on wheels. You have to get the washable stuff.
At home, too.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's for
me,
definitely.
We had a two-day-old couch once when the boys were really little, like less than one, and somebody got a hold of a marker and just destroyed it. They Led Zeppelin to that couch.
Yeah, it was ruined. Okay. Safety scissors, one pair for every child. All right. I always have that in the craft kit.
Do you have extras or do you literally have three?
I have three.
Okay. Because I was going to say, the craft kit, you often do break out when there's other kids as well. And I like that. So if you're camping with another family, you often break out the craft kit and it's just like nice, sane time
at the picnic table. It really is. That's what I'll do. I'll let everybody sit at the picnic table and do something. And that is true. But at the same time, I'm not going to carry like scissors for a group of kids. You know, obviously kids can
share.
Don't
want to be responsible for some other kid holding scissors. Let's just say
kids can share scissors. They're safety scissors. You know, the kids that are at a picnic table doing crafts know how to use scissors at that point. All right. So then also items that don't make a big mess, all right, and that aren't too small. That's the key. What else? I have macaroni. All right. The kids like to string macaroni, right, on yarn. That's a favorite. Pom-poms, pipe cleaners, tissue paper, stickers. All of those things, very easy for the kids to use. I also carry blank postcards, like postcard-sized paper, and sometimes I'll have the kids like draw a postcard and write it.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of use out of the craft kits. I'd say on a week-long trip, it comes out at least once.
Oh, at least once, and probably more. Oftentimes, I'll offer them that in the morning if it's a particularly chilly morning, right? Like when we camp off-season.
Or if we just don't want them out of the RV waking everyone else up.
Right, if it's before quiet hours. So let me take out the craft kit. You can color. You can just do a quiet activity. That's fine. Or another time it's really good for is late afternoon. Sometimes kids have just had all of the physical activity they can take by like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they just need a break. So you take it out, you put it on the picnic table, and you know what? They just have fun sitting there gluing things together, and it can take the edge off. So
Honestly, that's a really good way to put it. I'm always kind of like, when I'm relaxed when I see you take out the craft kit, I'm like, oh, okay, we can kind of like relax a little. They're doing a craft.
Yeah. Okay. So
let's go to rainy day. You need to be prepared for a rainy day. Rainy days are going to happen. And we've said for years, rainy days can be really fun.
Well, a rainy day kit, it's even more important that this never makes an appearance except when it's actually raining out. Okay. So that's the whole point.
Know where Stephanie keeps the rainy day kit.
It's in the back of my cupboard, too. It's in the back. They're both in there because I keep these. They're just those little cubes, you know, right. So I can just pull them out. So there's a couple of cubes piled up back
there. Isn't that cute, though, that she gives up some of her closet space for these kits for the kids?
Well, you know, it's awkwardly like shaped back there. It's not like, what else am I going to do?
But it just says so much about you. You're so utilitarian. You don't like pack too many clothes.
No.
I love
all
that
right
about
well
you.
They can hang in front, so it's no big deal. Hides my hanging clothes in the front hide the craft and the rainy day kits. All right, so what is in there? This is pretty easy to stock. You can go to the dollar store. You know those like 25-piece puzzles that are a dollar, things like that. If you, or even 50-piece, 100-piece, depending on how old your kids are. Buy a few puzzles, but do not ever let your kids do those puzzles unless it is raining, okay? Like, I'm really serious about that. You know those fat activity books? Put them in there, and your kids are never going to see them unless it's raining.
And it becomes somewhat special then when it does get pulled out. It's rainy day kit time.
Mm-hmm. Mad Libs. All right, you can put a couple Mad
Loved
Libs
them
in there.
When I was a kid.
Every kid loves Mad Libs. I used to always break them out as a teacher. You know, at the end of the year when kids are a little bit antsy and everything, we always had a blast with Mad Libs. So the activity books, a couple of games that you don't play at any other time. These can be, you know what our boys love? Those little games. They used to have them in like the dentist's office, but you can get them at the dollar store. They have those little balls in them and you like try to roll around the ball to get them.
You've used those in the car too.
So anti-technology, right? It's like the exact opposite.
And they're really cheap.
And they're so cheap. And for some reason, our children, because they don't see things like that as much, they're like totally captivated by them, you know? So I usually have a couple of those in there.
I don't sound like we're bragging or something, but like we're never bored on a rainy day. If it's days in a row, whatever, you know, but that when
I can't
you get that one
there.
Rain out of a day, I almost enjoy it.
Well, because we usually have a rainy day activity off the campground in our back pocket whenever we go anywhere. We know what we're going to do if it is a rainy day. And then we have fun doing these different kinds of things. And then also I recommend one or two movies there that aren't in your DVD rotation.
That haven't been made. Yeah, because if you bring that movie that the kids have watched 5,000 times in the last month, they're not going to be that interested. Or occasionally you have bought a brand new movie and surprised them. You've just stored it in the rainy day kit. And then on the rainy day, you break it out and it's like something they've never seen before. You have done that once or twice.
I have, but I really prefer to put the movies that I know or like my tried and true go-to movies that they don't expose to in their circle.
Such as?
Hook. Remember I showed them Hook a while back and they really liked that. Jumanji was another one that I pulled out. I like those kind of oldie but goodie movies.
Yeah, like Rambo 3.
No. The Super Puppy movies, I showed them that originally.
I like the Super Puppy movies. They're
peaceful.
They're
so sweet. They are. So like I have my – I'm just going to say it. Like I've been an elementary school teacher for 10 years. Like I have my go-tos. So I usually put a couple of those on that I know that they won't have watched before. Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, you know.
Sounds like you're picking ones that you also like, which
is
fair enough.
Of course, because it's a rainy day, so we're stuck there,
we're
you know.
Stuck watching
let's all sit there and watch a movie together. Okay, so that's my rainy day kit.
All right, so sports and outdoor activity kit. And I've been rethinking this somewhat. So here's a list of things that could really work well in the RV. And then afterwards, I'll talk a little bit about how I'm rethinking how I pack the sports kit. So jump ropes can be fun. Definitely. That's not something we break out that often, but it is something they enjoy, obviously, and it's good for them physically, correct?
Yeah. Our boys play inappropriately with them sometimes, but...
But you know what?
It's
Wes.
Yeah, he does.
Wes.
You're absolutely
It's not
right.
Max and Theo. Wesley whips people with the jump rope.
Right. Max and Theo actually were very into learning how to jump rope over the past couple of years. That's what happens when they go to school and they're in gym class and everything. So they were in there because they were enjoying it. And then the toddler comes along.
Wes thinks he's Indiana Jones with that nonsense.
Yeah.
But either way, you know your kids. You decide. For us, a necessity is to bring wiffle ball stuff. And I bring, you know, one or two bats. You know, you can just bring one. But I bring at least like six wiffle balls. So, because if you just have one, you're just chasing the ball. Like after every single pitch, you have to stop and go get the ball. Where if like I bring six, I can say, all right, guys, you're each going to get six pitches. Then we're going to collect all the balls. And then the other person gets up. So I order the big box of wiffle balls. Wiffle ball is also great for a campground where there's other RVs in close proximity. Because I've never seen someone smash a window or dent something with a wiffle ball. It literally is just perfect for a campground. The boys have asked for me to bring the hard balls to the campground. I have been resisting because I just don't totally trust them with a hard ball yet, and definitely no hard bats.
No hard ball. I don't want them putting a ball through somebody's RV.
I know. They're just they're
or car window.
And you know what? They're seven now.
What about your new truck?
Max was swinging around his aluminum bat today near the aluminum F-150. And I opened up the window and yelled at him, step away from the truck.
Oh, that's why the bedroom window is open.
That's why I left the bedroom window open. He was really close to the truck, like swinging the bat around, man. It's like, it costs like $10,000 to take a ding out of those aluminum F-150s from
the
what I hear.
The new baby in the family. All right, what else is in your sports bucket?
Okay, a kickball. And we don't do kickball that much, but you just need the ball. And that's the whole game, basically. Like, that's the nice thing about kickball.
And a lot of people can play it. I always like the sports equipment that can be like a pickup game that kids that they need at the campground can play with each other.
That's a good point, too, with kickball. We bring bubbles, all right? And Max and Theo...
They last a day.
They last a day, and Max and Theo are somewhat done with bubbles. Wesley loves some bubbles.
Yeah, and he spills them.
But it's a cheap activity that can take up a few hours on a day. Soccer ball. I've kept a soccer ball in the RV since we've owned an RV. Also, the sidewalk chalk is awesome. Right? For the kids, too.
Well, because you can do the different games that they've learned then at school. You can draw, like, the hopscotch board. You can draw the four-square board so easy. And I know that all of those games, as soon as your kids play it. And, you know, if you forget how to play those games, don't complain that your kids, you know, don't know how to do anything but play video games anymore. Even if you forget how to do the four-square, go online, type in four-square, and you'll get the directions. Remember. And then teach your kids how to play Foursquare and they'll like it.
A lot of really good old school games are good for the campground, particularly if you're trying to intentionally disconnect a little bit from devices.
Yeah, but it's amazing that we say as parents, oh, they don't just play these games anymore, but we have to teach them. We have to teach them maybe red light, green light. Right? So teach them red light, green light. And you can play that with 20 kids at the campground, and it's fun.
Yeah. Now, I said that I've been rethinking a little bit the sports equipment, where in the past, you know, I've brought the wiffle balls, I've brought the soccer ball, I've even brought, you know, football. I'm starting to think that I just really need to bring whatever they're into at that moment. So right now, it's just baseball, baseball, baseball. They don't want to look at the soccer ball. And that'll change at some point, right? But I don't think I need to pack every type of ball for every type of sport, because that's just not how our kids do it. Like, when they're into their sport for the season, that's the only thing they want to do. So for this summer, I'm bringing wiffle balls, I'm bringing some gloves to play catch, and those little league balls that are a little bit squishy. And I don't feel the need to bring the soccer ball or the football right now. Now, I don't know. There might be other parents out there, other dads out there saying, well, I want the variety. I want the diversity. That's not what our kids want.
Yeah, I was thinking that for if your kids are a little bit older, like the tween and the teen stage, you might want whatever there's going to be at the campground.
That's a good point. If there's a volleyball court, you might want to bring a volleyball. But you can usually get them at the camp store, too.
Yeah, but I never like to rely on that. Or the basketball court. If there's a basketball court, you know, make sure there's a basketball in your RV.
You should bring one.
Because
the camp store is going to have like that cheesy, junky one.
Yeah, and that's a nice way for the older kids to do pickup games. Like, a basketball court can be a really great gathering place for, like, the tweens and stuff.
And,
so,
you know, at a certain age, which our boys are not at yet, at a certain age, you know, if you have kids that are 10, let them pick what sports equipment they're going to bring. Just tell them, hey, guys, you have this much room, pack some sports equipment. Now, we have some controversial items on the list of sports and outdoor activities. Both Nerf guns and water guns have been quite intriguing and somewhat controversial lately at the campground. The water gun thing sounds so innocent and fun, and let the boys have water guns. But the reality is, with our boys, they end up screaming, stop squirting me, stop squirting me.
Not our boys, every kid at the campground. It's constant.
Yeah.
So, first of all, there has to be one for every kid.
Who's got that many?
And that's with Nerf guns, too. Like, if it's just your family and everybody, but you have to make sure everybody has the Nerf gun.
Or else somebody's walking around unhappy.
And then, like, an equally powered Nerf gun, because otherwise it's, like, drama.
Because somebody's outgunned.
Yeah, it's drama. And then the water gun's the same way. Like, everybody has to have one, and they have to be of sort of equal capacity and equal power.
Well, you had this great theory that when we were kids, kids didn't whine and complain about being squirted because the squirt guns weren't that powerful. Now these kids have these like high-tech squirt guns that could like knock you over.
Okay, so this is the thing about water guns now. Everybody loves their super soakers, but what do kids like to do with their super soakers? They like to spray other people.
And other people don't like to be sprayed by the super soaker.
All of these kids, I'm like at the campground, and all these kids are going, stop spraying stinging me. Yeah, I mean, stop. Oh, you're getting in my eyes.
Some of these squircums are like fire hydrants.
Right. And that's what I realized. I was watching all these kids try to have fun and navigate a big giant water gun fight. And I thought, you know, when you have those handheld little squirter, you know, water guns that we had when we were kids, nobody is like complaining that it's getting in their eyes. It doesn't hurt. But if you get a super soaker in the face, that's like your, I mean, let's face it, you're getting like waterboarded. Yeah. I mean, you can't breathe. Like, yeah, no, like there's
semi-automatic water gun. No,
Jared, they're powerful. Like,
I'm waiting for a company to come out with like a combination of like the Nerf gun thing and water gun, and you just like hit a button and it switches back and forth.
So I think here's the answer. If you go to the dollar store and get the cheap little water guns.
But that's not the answer if the other kids that they're friends with have the high-powered semi-automatic water guns.
But then, listen, here's the thing. You can put out, again, you can put out a bucket of water, and the kids can just dip those guns into the bucket of water to fill it. These super soakers, the kids are like at the kitchen sink.
I have an idea. Let's go to a campground.
This is ridiculous.
Let's go to a camp. Let's go to a campground with
insanity.
Stop the madness. Let's go to a campground with a pool.
And then we don't have to worry about it.
I mean, one of the reasons a few weeks ago we were having this issue was we were at a campground without a pool.
Yeah. This so past weekend was the very first time we've been at a pool. Yeah, yeah. So, no, I get it. I just think that I don't know if it's – I'm over it. I'm over the Nerf guns. I'm over the water guns. I hear a lot of kids complaining.
I'll tell you as a dad right now why I'm over it. My boys love sports. They love baseball. I love playing baseball with them. I enjoy it. It's actually exercise for me, and it's exercise for them. And we can play catch for an hour or hours without controversy, without argument, just have like a nice, fun time. So why, I don't know, at their age, why whip out that stuff that's obnoxious and annoying? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if we're being funny,
Then you did laser tag with them and they loved it, right?
That was so organized. So it was run organized by the campground. There's like four camp workers there watching it. That was really fun.
Really fun. Like incredibly the kids fun. Love that. So it's like, so in that context, it's like, okay,
the
guys.
Kids loved it.
Here are the rules.
I loved
you
it.
You loved it.
I got 18 hits.
But that's your score. You're telling everybody your score.
I got 18 hits in 10
Congratulations,
minutes.
Congratulations, hon. Good job. I'll give you a high five all right across the table here.
So anyway, I mean, look, if you want to use your squirt guns and your Nerf guns and all that stuff, it just, for us, has not been working incredibly well.
I don't want a referee. I don't go to the campground to referee a water gun fight.
And you know, we've written about this. We've talked about this. You know, we want to have fun too as parents and be as relaxed as possible with little kids. And when you're putting things in their hands that then you have to monitor and that stress you out, just stop, take a breath and say, why am I doing this?
Why?
You are parents. You are actually in charge.
You're the boss.
And yeah, I mean, look, I need to remind myself. Mm-hmm. That I am in charge. I do. Yeah. So I'm with you if you're one of those moms
let's
or dads.
Let's say we're in charge.
You Wait. Know you're in charge. I'm not. That's not the point. Charge. I have to occasionally, when there's like a maddening situation going on, I have to sometimes say, Dad, you're the adult. You're like 8 times older than they are. No, I'm not that much.
Like, no, I'm not that old.
You're like 6 times older than they are. You can take it away from them. If they whine and complain, you can put them back in their bunk bed. You can do these things. We can punish our children when they're annoying.
Yeah, all
we
right.
We can give them consequences.
So anyway, that was the detour from the 3 campground kits that we put together when we're packing RV. Now, I had sort of leftover incremental like kits from last year through this entire spring season. And the reason why we're doing this episode is because I've been thinking about it because I am refreshing and getting everything organized and set for our long summer trip. I find this crucial. I can't live without it anymore.
Yeah. And please, Stephanie, put a thread up on the forum. If anyone has something great that they keep in their sports kit, their craft kit, or their rainy day kit, just that like great little item that's kind of cheap and can occupy your kids for hours, please put it on the forum.
Yes, sir. I will do it. All right. So we are going to be back in a minute talking about some of our new favorite road trip activities that we just discovered recently. Stay tuned. Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Now it's time for us to talk about some of our new favorite road trip activities. Stephanie, you've got a bunch of cool new stuff thanks to some cool gifts from some
people. Exactly. So we recently did a road trip tips podcast episode. And in that episode, one of the things that we talked about was low prep road trip activities. Well, I gave my ideas, and I also talked about how much I hate some of these Pinterest ideas that are like, you know, basically like spend a week.
Can you stop attacking Pinterest on the
just
show?
The ideas,
you are offending like, some Pinterest person out
no,
there.
No, I'm not, because if they can do those things, I salute them. I do. I can't do it. I cannot, like, the ideas that are on there are really somewhat overwhelming to me. And I think a little bit over the top sometimes. But so I had talked about that, and I had shared some of my low maintenance ones. Well, this week, or not this week, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, we were lucky enough to get some gifts from the boys, from a family friend.
A former nanny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she babysat the boys for years
like
and years.
Like family to us.
Yes. And she got them gifts for all three of their birthdays, and they were all these like car activities. She's so thoughtful. So anyway, the boys were really excited to bring them on our last couple of road trips, and I'm in love.
Yeah, because they're so well designed and so user-friendly for kids' hands.
So these are called Flip to Win Wooden Games, and they're by Melissa and Doug. Now, go ahead.
You pay more for Melissa and Doug.
Okay, well, guess what? I was going to say, everybody thinks, well, Melissa and Doug, and what do we all think? Expensive. A little more expensive,
but if
right?
If it lasts longer and it's better made.
These are not that expensive. So some of these, they're going to start as low as $10. And they only go up to $20.
And they're not junk. They're not going to fall apart. And you're going to put them all in our Amazon affiliate shop, correct?
Well, I'll list them in the show notes. Okay. So I want to talk about what they are. All right. So there's a bunch of different games that you can get in this Flip to Win Wooden Games. But the number one thing that's great about them is none of them work on the magnetic principle, which is such a popular thing in road trip like activities, right? Everybody thinks, oh, magnets, so it'll stick to the board. But the problem with magnets is that, yes, even though they stick to the board, they can still be dropped on the ground.
And lost. I mean, that's the biggest problem we have, is that the kids lose the pieces to anything.
Right. So this, every single piece is tethered elastically
Brilliant.
To the board.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It's amazingly designed. I love it. So, for example, one of the activities is a bingo board. Okay. And the bingo board has quite a few cards in it. I think 3 to 5 cards come with each of the bingo boards. And you can slide one of the cards in, and you basically like flip the little square open so you can see all the little designs on the card. And one card might be road signs. One card might be types of cars, right? Or like emergency responder vehicles, things like that, right? So each of these different boards has a different theme to it. Our boys were looking out the window, looking for dead end signs, looking for do not enter signs, looking for stop signs. And then when you see them, you just flip that little thing down. It just flips right down.
No piece to fall on the floor. Is the simplest ideas are the most brilliant ideas.
Yeah. So they also have a hangman board. So cute. And again, every single letter like can be covered up with that little elastic like flip square.
Just the fact that the parts don't get lost makes it worth spending a couple extra bucks on a product like this.
Yeah. And then so there was the hangman. There's bingo. There's a memory game board. You know, remember memory? Like, you know, you're
trying. No, I don't remember memory.
You don't? So, you know, you're trying to find the two different pictures that are the same. If you turn them both over, you get to, you know, keep that. So there's a memory board game.
Oh, I think the license plate game, the last one you have here, that's the coolest looking one.
Oh, totally. And that's only $14.50. Like I said, these were gifts, so I didn't know how much they cost. And to be honest, when I went online to see...
You thought they were more like 30, 40.
Well, I thought 20, right. 25. $14
for that license plate thing.
Yeah.
Total steal.
So it's a whole map of the United States. And on each state, there's this little license plate with that state that looks like that state's license plate on it. And what you're doing is as you're driving, anytime you see the license plate, you can flip the little piece on that state.
Yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, the more that's an awesome price for that product. I mean, I had a sandwich at Whole Foods the other day for $14.50.
I don't want to know. You and your Whole Foods.
I'm exaggerating by like $2.
Your Whole Foods secret addiction.
It's got to stop.
I told you.
People debate whether like the whole paycheck thing's a joke or not. It's not.
Yeah, you got to stop. I told you.
You go for like coffee and a sandwich, it's like $200.
What did I say to you the other day? I said, you cannot stop at Whole Foods every day.
It is way too conveniently located on the way home from work.
you're just like, my car is driving itself. My brand new Ford 150 has to go in. it's on autopilot. All right. So I think that those were the hangman, the memory, the bingo, and the license plate game. You can also get them in different packets. So like you can get bundles that are going to
really?
Be. Mm-hmm, yeah. So you can get the different bundle options if you wanted to get a few different ones. But I'm telling you,
these are not just like one summer. There's been so many games we've bought where they play with them for a week and then the parts are missing.
Yeah.
Like anything where the parts are tethered is like, game on.
Yeah. So I'm really happy with these. I know we had just done a road trip tips episode and I was like, I don't know. Do I really want? But I just, when we find something like this.
It's a good time for most of our listeners who are, you know, heading out on their big summer trips. You know?
Yeah. I think this is, these are winners. If your children are in the 4 to 10 age
yeah,
group.
I can't see a 12-year-old. I don't know.
They maybe. Might. They might yeah, get into I mean, the like license plate. Or even
totally.
The memory game. Yeah. Especially if they have younger siblings. Like if you have the tweens with younger siblings and they would be willing to play the memory game with them or the bingo game with them, then it might
but
be.
If you tell your 18-year-old to put away their iPhone and take out the license plate game.
And don't tell them, like, Jeremy and Stephanie say.
Yeah, they'll just hate
That's
us.
Why the teenagers hate us, because you'll say, like, Jeremy and Stephanie say you should
what
play the
What do you
the
do with the teenager in the car? We have to go back to see what Travels with Bertie with Carrie Cox wrote. Yeah. What do you do with the teenager in the car when they're just glued to their device? Hey,
give
look at the mountains.
Device. Say, look out the window. All right. So those are my new favorite road trip activities from Melissa and Doug. They are Flip to Win, Wooden Games, links in the show
notes. And we'll be back in a second. And we want to kick off a great summer of NPS content by reviewing a book by the Creative Action Network that I'm absolutely in love with. And we'll give you a sneak peek at all the NPS content that we're going to be delivering to you all summer long and into the fall. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just wanted to do a brief segment here at the end to kind of kick off our coverage of the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. We wanted to do that by reviewing a book by the Creative Action Network called See America, A Celebration of Our National Parks and Treasured Sites. We have covered this revival of the See America series of prints before, and on episode number...
52.
We interviewed Max Slavkin, the CEO of the Creative Action Network, about this revival of that original World War II WPA project. And it's just an amazing thing they've done, having all these artists create all of these posters from all over America. And you can buy the posters at the Creative Action Network website. You can buy calendars. You can buy postcards. They finally have put together a collection of the best ones in a hardcover book. It's a really beautiful book by Chronicle Books, and Chronicle Books always make beautiful books. And it's, you know, it's about the size of a normal hardcover. I think it should be in every RV. So after a nice introduction, there's, you know, I think well over 100 different prints in here. And there's a description of the print on the left on like a nicely designed page that gives you some interesting facts about the site. And then there's the print itself from all over the country. I have just loved flipping through this book. It's inspired me to buy some more prints from the Creative Action Network from our walls, for instance. And I just think that any RV traveler who's interested in the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service should go out and buy this book called See America from Chronicle Books. It's less than $20 in the Amazon store.
Yeah, and I also wanted to give a huge shout out to one of our listeners who is also a blogger. She is a blogger about her home at boxycolonial.com. So she's like a designer and she redoes the different areas of their home and has from a design perspective. So anyway, Gretchen over at Boxy Colonial redid her son's bedroom in a national parks theme. All right. So they did everything in the room as a national parks theme. And she used a ton of See America artwork in the room. And I'm telling you, I love this room so much. So you have to go over to her blog, boxycolonial.com. I'll link to it in the show notes and see what she did. So she actually took 3 different See America prints, and she actually chose prints from our very favorite of our See America artists,
Matt Brass, who did the logo for RVFTA, the logo for Campground of the Week, and the logo for Girl Camper. And he's just, he's awesome. We love him.
We do. And so she chose 3 of his prints, but then she also took the set of See America postcards that she won from us in a giveaway. And she did this amazing thing where she strung it almost like a clothesline, you know, with these little clips against the wall, like a little flag banner of the See America postcards. And I love the look of it. She also included this Hello Bear rug and bedding from Pillow Fort. And I've talked about Pillow Fort before on this show. And I use Pillow Fort for all of the bedding in the bunkhouse in our RV. And she has these adorable bison curtains and green walls, right? Like just surrounded by the forest.
Yeah, it was an awesome room. Oh. I mean, it really inspiring travel themed room.
Yeah, but if you want to just get an idea for sort of the way See America artwork can look in a design
space. And just how it inspires people. Like once you get hooked into their world, you want to spend time there. And we're going to have Max Slavkin back on the show to talk about this book in more detail and to talk about the 100th anniversary of the NPS and this revival of the See America project, because we can't get enough of it. And we know that so many of our podcast listeners feel the same way.
All right. So we're also going to do other segments throughout the summer. We are going to have tons of our correspondents on to talk about where they have been in this country to these NPS sites. They're going everywhere.
Yeah. So we're going to have correspondents reporting from Rocky Mountain National Park, from Yellowstone, from Glacier, from Mount Rushmore. We'll be reporting from Acadia and the Skudik Peninsula.
Yeah, you're spilling the beans.
I'm spilling the beans. We're going to Skudik Peninsula at some point this summer to the brand new NPS campground. Snagged a reservation there. We're going to be thrilled to review that campground and share that with everybody. We'll also be in Cape Cod. We'll be in Sleeping Bear Dunes this summer. We're going to hit Hyde Park. So we have lots of NPS travel content coming your way all summer long, and we're really, really excited about it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this,
Let's go see America. Everybody, all of our podcast listeners, seriously, you've probably planned some trips. Plan another one. Go to a national park, even if it's just a day trip. Get out there and see this big, beautiful country in your RV. As you bought the RV, go use it.
Yeah. All right. And I also want to say that we are going to put a little bit of an emphasis, too, on some of the other places like the National Historic Sites and the monuments and the lakeshores and the seashores, because those are all part of the NPS system.
Yeah, it's not just Yellowstone and Yosemite. Right. There's so much more to the NPS system. That's why I mentioned, you know, like something like Hyde Park, which we're really excited to go visit. And so many of these places are within reach for day trips. There's great campgrounds near all of these places, whether public or private. We live in a wonderful country, and it's just a wonderful time to travel this country right now.
All right. We'll be back in a minute to wrap up the show.
Thank you so much for listening to episode number 93 of RVFTA as we approach episode 100, 100 straight weeks of podcasting. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, you're getting excited.
I am, and I don't know if 100's the big episode or if it's 104.
All right, well, we've
got
some time.
2 years in a row or 100, or are they both? It's both a big deal. I mean, if you had asked me when we started this thing, I would have said, yeah, we're going to take Christmas week off. We're going to take Easter off. You know, we're going to just do this when we want to do it. But we fell in love with doing it, and apparently some of you really like the podcast too. So thank you for listening. We also want to thank Progressive, and we are running a really fun hashtag Where Is Flow contest all summer along with Progressive. We got that kicked off last week. Where was Flo on her big road trip last week?
Well, the first week we were at in the Grand Canyon. We started off nice and easy, like broke everybody in. Then last week we went to Mount Rushmore, okay? So where is Flo going to be next week? You have to go to our Instagram account.
And don't just assume because she's been out west that she's going to stay out west, because she zips around in her little Flo-mobile.
Yeah, she's everywhere. All right, you just wait. She's coming at
you. You know, by the way, like an FYI, Progressive does sell insurance as well.
In addition to putting Where Flo bobblehead dolls in funny places around America. So you're going to look at RV Family Travel Atlas over on Instagram. You are going to look for that picture of Flo to pop up. You are going to guess where she is and tag a friend. All correct answers are entered to win a prize.
And just a huge, deeply felt thank you to all of the sponsors of the RVFTA Podcast Network for providing all this great content for all you RV fools out there in listener land.
We will talk to you next week. Bye.